I want to speak to you this morning about faith and repentance and how they work and how they work together. One thing that makes Judaism inaccessible to Jews is the sheer number of rules and obligations that seem to define Jewish religious life. And Jewish children growing up often are exposed more to the rules and regulations and the ways, like this is how you light the Chanukiah, the Hanukkah menorah. You light it in this direction and not in that direction. And this is the way that you put on your talit when you're bar mitzvah, and this is when you wear a talit and when you don't, and all these things. And it can become so esoteric for children and for young adults that by the time they're adults, it feels like that is what Judaism is all about and what going to the synagogue is all about, is just getting things right. And yet, those things may have some importance. They are not of primary importance. The primary thing that the Lord is looking for is that we would be in a right relationship with Him. And all the ways and means and all the commandments are to enable that, but they in of themselves are not a substitute for it. And that's why it's impossible to just try to come up with all the steps you could take and then master those steps. It's also why the prophets of Judaism have at various times tried to distill the rules, the commandments, into an essence of it. For instance, one prophet said to love mercy, to do justice, to walk humbly with your God. This is what's required. So these are the three great commands. Another said to obey God. This is better than all sacrifice and all burnt offerings. Yeshua was asked to simplify. And he was asked, which of the commandments is the greatest one? Which of the mitzvot? Which of the laws and the regulations and the requirements of Torah is number one? And his answer is important to us because he gave an answer. He didn't say, you know what, all that commandment stuff, it just gets in the way. What you really need is the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that. He knew we needed the Holy Spirit. But we needed the Holy Spirit in order that we would be filled with God so that He could command us to do more. And we would be able to do it with power that comes from on high and not just human power. And so Yeshua answered with two commandments from the Torah. He started in one case with the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And for a non-Jewish ear, that might not sound like a commandment, but it is. Listen. But it's joined to the Ve'ahavta. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. We say that, we sing that throughout the year. Every Shabbat we gather together. Every holiday of the Lord we gather together. We remember the Shema and the Ve'ahavta. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And he said there's a second commandment like that. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Say that one with me. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. To love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, the whole of Torah and the prophets hang on these. In other words, if you want to get a correct understanding of the Jewish Bible, you must embrace these two commandments, number one and number two. What are important about these commandments is that they reflect the integration of repentance and faith. In other words, a person who has made teshuvah, who has turned away from sin and turned to God, is in a position to love God with everything. These commandments also unveil the areas of our lives that are not yet committed to God. Because God is looking for you and for me not just to master a few commandments, but to give Him everything that we are. He wants all of your thoughts, even your dark ones. This is terrible for some of us because we have more dark thoughts than bright ones. But the Lord wants you to lay down. He wants me to lay down my dark thoughts, the attitudes in my heart, the feelings, the intentions, the motivations. He wants us to lay them down before Him, that He could take them and remove them from us. He doesn't want us to hold on to them, and He doesn't want us to try to hide them in a secret place. For many men, the appearance of victory is more important than real victory. I can't speak for women, never having been one. But men know this to be true. Sometimes it is more important for us to give the impression to others that we have victory. That's more important than we actually have the victory. And yet, in God's eyes, it's the other way around. The reality of victory is more important than the appearance of victory. That's why, even if you fall and you get back up, that's more important. Because you got back up. If you fall and no one sees you, no one knows you didn't have victory. But if you don't get up, even if you're pretending to get up, you don't have victory. So the Lord wants us as men, and I think women as well, that we would be discontent with the appearance of victory, and we would hold on to a stronger desire for real victory. With this in mind, we can analyze ourselves, we can take note of ourselves. What part of me is having difficulty loving God? What causes me to stumble? What part is weak? What part needs to be strengthened? What part needs to be healed? What part needs to be cured? What part needs to be killed? That produced some groans. You know, in the kingdom of God, not everything is meant to be coped with. Some things are meant to be killed. Certain desires should be killed. Why does temptation work in us? Because the desire for the thing is alive in us. I was driving by a restaurant yesterday, and I read a sign that they had on it that was supposed to like draw you into the restaurant. And I had zero temptation to go in. And it's not that they serve no food in there that I would like eating, but I have no desire for that restaurant. How many of you have similar experience? But yet there are other places and other foods. I don't have to even be near, but the desire rises up in me. Am I talking to you too? You see, desire and temptation are connected. Where there is no desire, there is no temptation. Where there is temptation, guess what? There is desire. Exactly. That's right. And so one of the ways that we resist temptation is not just by getting stronger against temptation, but to allow the desire to grow weaker or even to kill that desire. When the desire is for something evil, we need to kill it. Not just restrain it. We want it to lose life and power and not be able to rule over us. When the desire is for things that are okay but require moderation, we need to learn discipline, how to discipline our behavior and thus our desire, and they will both moderate. When repentance is alive in us, we have a true desire for victory. We really want to love God. We really want to love Him with every aspect that we have. We really want the things that are inside of us to be reflected outwardly. The purpose of God's grace is not primarily to provide you with forgiveness. Forgiveness is the remedy for not having taken advantage of grace in times past. Forgiveness is what God gives to you because you did not take advantage of His grace when it was available. His grace will work in you and me to lead us in paths of righteousness. His grace will empower us to do what is good, to do what is pleasing in the Lord's sight. His grace will revise our inner appetites and renew them if we submit them to Him. His grace will be at work. And so His grace is protective. It's restorative. It's not just for the purpose of forgiveness. Many people misuse God's grace because we think that grace simply means God will forgive me if I say the magic words. And what are the magic words? Forgive me. In the name of Yeshua. Right? And that's not what God's grace is limited to. It's too narrow to see it that way. So, teshuvah, repentance, requires action. In Hebrew, it's an action word. It means to turn around. Do this right now. Turn and greet the person behind you. You'll have to take turns because you recognized that, didn't you? Very good. It would have been quite funny, wouldn't it, if everybody turned at the same time and there's no one to greet because everyone's looking backwards and the final row is looking at the wall. Teshuvah means to turn around. It's an action word. It's not just to feel bad or to feel sorry. In fact, it's possible sometimes to feel really bad and really sad and still change not at all and thus have no teshuvah because we don't turn. We can feel like sin's inevitable. Have you ever had that feeling? You know, whenever I buy food I shouldn't eat and bring it home, you know, like the large size of Nutella. Those of you who haven't been to Europe wouldn't know what this is. It's a chocolate hazelnut spread. Oh my goodness, you shouldn't talk about such things at Yom Kippur. Some of you, you know, it's Oreos or potato chips. I should stop talking about food, but it helps us understand. I'm growing weak. But do you know this experience? You see something at the store and something in you says, don't do it. And you get it anyway because you want it. It's not an immoral thing you're getting. It's maybe not healthy for you. And you take it home and you try to defeat yourself by putting it in a place where you're not going to see immediately. Right? You know, like if it has to be refrigerated, you put it on behind something. Some of you understand this. Or you put it in a shelf, on a shelf behind something or where it's hard to see. And the idea is that way I'm not going to be overcome. But the voice of temptation calls out. And that which you adore and adores you calls you by name and wants to have fellowship with your mouth and says, come and find me, my beloved. And you're mesmerized. Some guys know this rule. If you eat in the middle of the night while your wife is asleep, that food does not count against you. Any men understand this rule? Yeah, there are a few of us here. We understand. So the idea is this thing's going to keep at you. And then you get to this point where you're tired of it defeating you day after day. And so you do what you must, eat it all. Am I right, Carol? Yes. It's like, you are not going to get me tomorrow. I'm eating it all now. I'm going to get it over with. And we can do the same thing with sin. We can be so tired of resisting that thing which we've allowed to come in and get a hold of us that we just give up by giving in. And we say, I'm just going to get it over with. And yet that's not teshuvah. Because teshuvah is a turning around that's mixed with something else. Emunah. Say that word. Emunah. Which is faith. And faith, just like repentance, is an action word. Faith and action go together. Repentance and action go together. They cannot be separated because repentance, teshuvah, is an action. Faith, emunah, is an action. It has an internal aspect and it has an external aspect. We will look again just at these few verses in Yaki's book. You know, the letter of James was not written by James because there was no James. It wasn't even written by Jim or Jimmy. If you wanted to pick an English name, you should have picked Jack, because the Hebrew and the Greek name of its author was Yaakov. Say that with me. Yaakov. Which is Jacob. So better it would say Jacob or Jack. Do we have any Jacks in the house? No. How about that? Oh, wait. Brian is a Jack. He sheepishly looks, not knowing his daughter is pointing him out and giving him up. Okay. We'll let that go. So, Yaakov, in chapter 1, verse 21, connects repentance to faith in action. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. I love that. The implanted word. The word that's been sown inside, that's been planted, that is growing inside of you, which is able to save your souls. The word of God that's arising in you and growing up in you will bring salvation to your soul. Be doers of the word. You see, this is in contrast to being like powerless in the face of sin. Instead, be doers of the word, not hearers alone, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is only a hearer of the word and not also a doer, he's like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror, because he observes himself and then he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of freedom, the perfect Torah of liberty, and continues looking and continues in the looking, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, it's in acting on your faith that you show you have real faith. It's in acting on your faith that something rises up in you that empowers what would look like repentance, but is better than repentance. What does repentance require? That we turn away from sin and we turn to God, right? What does faith require? That we keep in God's direction. What does teshuvah, repentance, require? That we walk in the ways of repentance, right? What does faith require? That we walk in the ways of faith. There is no difference after you've turned from teshuvah and emunah. They are the same. Both require action. And that's why the action of faith empowers you in the same way teshuvah does and brings the same victory to you that repentance does. But I can tell you this, repentance that is only half-hearted and half-complete will have to be done over and over and over again. Why? Because it only involves this, the turning, but it doesn't involve the going forward. I can turn from sin. I can turn from Nutella. Name the thing that tempts you most for food. Or right now, drink. Or whatever it may be. You can turn from that. But to go away from it, this is important. And it's not just any kind of going. It's going in the way of God. It's going in a direction that pleases the Lord. It means that we must have that kind of close relationship with God that He wants. But it's not inaccessible to us. You know when it seems most impossible? It's when we're trapped in the sin. Before we've made repentance, it seems impossible. But once we've got unentangled, disentangled from the grip of sin over us, you know what? The intimacy with God just seems normal again. Husbands and wives, you can understand this. It's in the middle of an argument that it seems like intimacy is impossible. It's after everything's been cleaned up that intimacy seems normal again, right? Talking sweetly is normal in a marriage relationship, but not when you're fighting. By definition, when you're caught in sin, by definition, intimacy with God is broken. But as soon as you're out, it can be restored. So what is the greatest way to protect ourselves from sin? Faithful living. The life of faith. Not faith that's an abstraction or a theological statement or a statement of doctrine or dogma, but faith that is active. Yaakov continues in this, in verse 14 of chapter 2, the very next chapter. What does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works, or let's say, does not have any action or deeds? Can that save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, that's all you give them are words like that, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, is it useful for them? Thus also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Because the heart, the soul, if you will, of faith requires action. In the same way teshuvah requires it. When you remove action from faith, you kill it. It's not faith alive in you. But someone will say, well, you have faith, I have works. Show me, this is his response, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Nothing meritorious in that belief. This is a common understanding that demonic spirits have, that there is one God. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without action is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by action when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? This willingness and this action towards it is one of the central things that is read during a traditional synagogue service at Yom Kippur, the offering of Isaac, this contemplation of James is built around the contemplation of Yom Kippur issues. Do you see that faith was working together with his action? And by his action, faith was made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was thus called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by action and not by faith separated from action. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by her action when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without action is also dead. Hearing and doing, faith and action, teshuvah and emunah, turning away from sin and turning to God. That's teshuvah. Going in God's direction is teshuvah and emunah. It's faith. This is a time when God wants to empower you and me and all of us together so that repentance would be easier in the future. How would you like sin to be less of a problem in this coming year? Anybody? How would you like to spend less of your energy coping with sin? How would you like to use less of God's grace to just erase the mark of sin on your life, the wounds of sin, the stains of sin? How would you like it just to be easier? All in favor of 5769, that's this Jewish year, being easier, raise your hand. Anybody out here just a plain masochist, you know, like, I want it harder. I don't know about you guys, I want it tougher. The key for us, for this year being easier, is that our faithfulness increase, that our faith grow, and it be active and alive and expressed and consistent. And that faith will do more for you than anything else. That faith is active and alive. It will empower you. It will be alive to you. Your reading of the Word, your attempts to do the Word, to let it grow in you and activate you. Your willingness to see something in the Scriptures and say, that's for me. Not to try to master 100 or 1,000 rules and regulations, but let the Word of God come alive to you. Let the Word of God command you. Come across things in the Scriptures and say, you know what? I haven't been doing that. I can. I want to. I will. And start doing it. And don't try to be a hero. You know, it's like physical training. Build up slowly through repetition. How many of you know what some of the principles of physical training, or you once saw an infomercial on them? It's not just the weight that you use, it's the repetition that you use that builds strength. Many people can do something difficult once, but not twice. But can you do something difficult 30 times? If the answer is you can, that means you have strength to do it. Anybody with enough adrenaline can go to the very limits and beyond of their natural body, but it takes repetition. In the same way, repetition of your faith will cause you to grow. I get together with a group of guys at the beginning of the week, 7 o'clock we get together, we pray, and it takes repetition to make it work. Does it not, guys? It takes repetition to get here because you have to decide on Sunday night how early you're going to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And it requires clearing out things from the schedule in order to be here. There are other things that we do that require repetition, but the more you do them, you know what? The more natural they become. The easier they become. The easier they become, the more they are just part of life. And that is the way of faith. Repetition of your faithfulness builds strength that makes things easy. Don't try to be the hero who tries to change everything at once, because it will not work. It takes time. I want you to turn to the person next to you, smile at them and tell them, it's going to take time. Or, it's going to take time. But you can make progress. You can make progress. Step by step. The Bible says, a step becomes a path with the Lord. Isn't that good? If you'll take a step, it will become a path. How does it become a path? Because after you take one step, you take another. Right? This is going to be a good year. I feel it coming. I feel it's going to be a good year. You know, economics doesn't define everything. Health can mean a whole lot more than money. Am I right? Just because you have all the money to pay for the doctors and all the health insurance, you know, while you're dying of some, you know, painful disease in a hospital, that doesn't make you happy. Right? Better to be healed. Right? There are many things. Happiness at home. Peace at home is worth much more than money could buy. Guys know this from working hard and trying to get their incomes up, and they think that if they have more money, everything will be better at home. And then they find out that their wife divorced them for a richer guy. What's the cure? Not more money. Money is for money. I mean, money is for financial things. It's true. We need money. But there are things money cannot buy, which are much more important. Peace at home, love at home. Money can't buy that, and the loss of money won't destroy it. Amen. Love with your children. Money can't buy that. You need money for your children. But if you give them money instead of yourself, you can never give them enough. You'll just spoil them and they'll hate you instead of love you. But you may not have enough money, but you can love them and they will know it. And you can love on them and welcome them into this world and see a bright future for them and stay connected to them and hold them close to you and give them your love in unstable times. And you know what? They'll never forget it. And when they're old, they'll make a family that reflects that love. And when they're old, they'll tell their children about how they were loved during the times when the world was in chaos and confusion. But their house wasn't. This year may be a tough year. But I tell you what, it looks like it could be a good year. That's what I'm looking for. A good year. I see it rising up in you. I mean, don't you resonate with the truth of that? Yes. That no matter what's coming against us, no matter what's happening in the economic world and the political world we're living in, it will still be a good year. Yes, Lord. For those who call upon the name of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Because we will be saved. It doesn't mean we won't go through hardship. It means when we're in hardship, God will send someone who will love on us and help us. When no one can be sent, He Himself will come. And sometimes He'll come even though everybody else has come. And He'll come to help. He'll come to love. This is the year we're looking for. This is the year He's going to give it to us. Don't be stuck in the indignation of the Lord that comes by not having made teshuva. Come out. Oli Oli income free. Remember saying that? It means the time of hiding is over. You can come back to home and no one's going to get you. That is the time that we're living in. That is the offer that the Lord is making to us. I want to pray for anyone who has been on the fence. Whether you have in times past not been because you've been faithful or you've just never really trusted God, but you are on the fence. Lord, I pray that your son and your daughter would come over the fence and not be stuck there. That place where they are stuck would be a place that they come from. And I pray that they would come into the place of faith and faithfulness. That place of consistency. That place where your light rises upon them. And your mercy is good towards them. Lord, there is perhaps someone in this room or someone who will hear this by podcast who is saying, I want to know Yeshua. And they are crying to you sincerely, Lord. Hear their cry and let them say yes to you. Yeshua Adonai Mashiach HaTzadik. Yeshua my Lord, Messiah, the righteous one, died for me and rose from the dead. He is, he was, he ever will be my Kippur, my Day of Atonement sacrifice. I trust him. I will walk with him now and all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we remember the Zachareinu, this wonderful prayer that captures so much of what was in Yeshua's heart when he said, don't rejoice that you have power over demons, that they even obey you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Zachareinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, b'chatvenu b'sefer ha'chaim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Remember us unto life, O King, who delights in life, and inscribe us into the book of life for your sake, O God of life. Thank you, Lord, that it is not because of our righteousness, not because of even our faithfulness, but because of your grace and your faithfulness that empowers us to be good. Only because of your grace are we able to be with you and have our names in your book. Amen. You are our Father. You are the Father of mercies. You have called us as your sons and your daughters to live in your family and to live in your kingdom. You have saved us from our sin, from our iniquity, from the power of sin and death. And for this, we are grateful, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you use your righteousness to convey righteousness to us. And you allow your mercy to triumph over all justice for your sake and for our sake. In the name of Yeshua we pray. Amen. We're going to close now with the Aaronic benediction. Would you gather together with family, with friends, so that no one is alone? We'll have a short break, and at 1 o'clock, those who want to participate in the Yizkor service, a service of remembrance where we say mourner's kaddish for those loved ones who we have lost, and we remember God's faithfulness to us through them, and we recall God's faithfulness to comfort us in mourning. So it's a great memorial time and a time of great comfort for all of us who have lost loved ones. We'll start at 1 o'clock, and so the room will need to be cleared of everyone who's not participating, and then it'll be a relatively short service. After that, we'll go to Goodby's Creek public launch. Michelle Allen knows exactly where it is. It's behind the Walgreens across the creek. There's a restaurant I won't mention nearby. It's at the corner near San Jose and Bay Meadows. If you want to know more, see Marlene. She'll give you directions. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, and the One who is our Kippur. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Good Yontif. May your fast continue to be
Thank
good
you.
And easy.
Thank you.